حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم الله ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد
صلى الله عليه وسلم
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. ما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
الله سبحانه وتعالى يسأل القرآن: Did we not take an oath from you, O children of Adam? Did we not take an oath from you that you shall not obey Shaitan, that you shall not serve Shaitan? He is your open enemy, and that you shall obey me. This is the straight path. We are discussing Shaitan and the tools and the means that he uses to misguide people. Yesterday, I mentioned why did Allah make Shaitan and what are the reasons why he kept him alive. Allah did not make Shaitan, Allah made a jinn who became Shaitan. But then when he did become Shaitan, Allah kept him alive for certain reasons. I mentioned those. Just one more I will add today, so that you know that not only is the wujud, the existence of Shaitan, good and beneficial, but it is also necessary for iman and for faith. Shaitan, it's not just that, okay, it's good that he's alive because we learned something from him. No, it is necessary to keep Shaitan alive. Otherwise, faith wouldn't be known, iman wouldn't be known. And this sixth point, let me just explain that to you. Send me salawats. When you have to give an exam, whenever there is test or exams, you know, you go to school, at the end of the school year, there's an exam that you have to find, you know, you have to pass, finals. You have to give those finals. Now, whenever a test is given, whenever an exam is given, there are two reactions that people have towards a test, towards an exam. Those students who studied throughout the year, they work hard in school, they listen to their teacher, they attended their classes. When they come face to face with a test, you see they're happy. They're actually glad. Oh, there's a test. And those students who wasted their time, instead of doing their homework, they're playing PlayStation and their video games and watching TV. So for these students who wasted their time, when they hear of a test, see, they are scared. They are afraid. You see, two opposite reactions to the same test. The test is the same. The exam is the same. In the same grade, in the same class, but you see there are two different reactions. There are those students who are happy to see the test, and there are those students that are upset and angry. And when they do give the test, you see, one goes, those who are weak, when they go and give a test, the first thing they come out and say is that this was unfair, this was an unfair test. Right? This was an unfair test. It was all wrong. It's not from the book. And they start complaining about the test, the examiner, and this is wrong, and you know, this is incorrect, and this is zulm. And we are mazlum. Right? So one test happens, they became mazlum, they made someone zalim, and this World War II, World War IV. Right? So now, those students who are good, and they study, when they give a test, they come out and saying that, oh, this was too easy. This is too easy, it's nothing. He should have made it harder. The same test, my friends. But someone is saying it's so easy. And someone is saying it's so hard. Someone is glad to take it. And the other is upset and angry on taking it. My friend, understand the difference. The same test, but two different reactions. Why is there two different reactions? Why is this person happy and that person upset? Why is this person saying it's too easy and the other person is saying it's too hard? My friends, the difference is this. Those who are weak, you see, those who are weak, they have a different view about a test. Those who are good, they have a different view about their test. For those who are weak, a test means that their weakness is going to be exposed. You see, they are weak. They are weak students. They are bad students. When they give the test, it will be proven they are bad. And those who are good, it will be a chance for them to prove their ability to others. That's why those who are good and strong, they want to give tests. They want to go to an exam. Why? Because the exam will show how good they are. Those who are weak, when they don't want to give an exam, why? Because the exam is going to expose how weak they are. This is why, when we are living in this world, when we are alive in this world, you see, everyone who's good wants to give an exam. He wants a test so he can prove to everyone, you see, how good I am. It won't be known. Right, let me give an example so you understand it from history. You send me a lot of salawats. In the Battle of Badr, when the Kuffar came to fight the Muslims, if you remember in the ranks, right, there were three fighters who came out from the side of the Kuffar, from Makkans. They came out. And they said, okay, you send your three. So the Prophet sent three of his fighters to go. They looked at these fighters and said, what is this? This is an insult. Send us someone who's equal to us. You don't want to fight these people. Send someone who's equal to us. In other words, they were so proud about themselves or so certain about themselves that they wanted to have strong fighters so they could fight them and prove. You see, even the Kuffar understood that this fight is a test and it's going to prove how good they are. Even they understood that. This is why, if someone is good, he wants to be tested. He wants to be examined. Otherwise, if he's not examined, then he won't be known how good he is. And those who are weak, lives. For them, they are afraid of being exposed. So my friends, if you understood this, Allah now wanted mankind to grow. And He knew that amongst mankind, there will be many who will say, we believe. We have faith. We have iman. So Allah said, I will send Adam. But with Adam, I will send Shaitan also. And Shaitan will be the test for every children of Adam. Those who are strong, they will never complain about Shaitan. It's only those who are weak who will complain that why is Shaitan here? He should be dead. In other words, my brothers and sisters, understand this. Shaitan is the test of faith. Those who have faith, they welcome Shaitan because it's only through him their iman will be proven. Because he's there and he is misguiding them. That's how their iman is proven. That even with the misguidance of Shaitan, I am still muttaqi and I'm still a mu'min. You see, they will be proud, and those who are weak, they will be saying, this Shaitan, I don't know why Allah created him. Why did Allah create him? Why are they complaining? Because their iman is weak. And they know that as long as Shaitan is there, he's exposing their iman. He's revealing the weakness of their iman. This is my friend, why Shaitan's wujud is necessary. It is Shaitan who proves who is a mu'min and who is not. And Shaitan proves that. And that's what he said. He says, لَأَقْبِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will misguide all of them. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ الْمُخْلَصُونَ. Right? إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ الْمُخْلَصُونَ. Except your, protected servants. مُخْلَص servants. So Shaitan, when he was there, he was looking at all the children of Adam. All of Bani Adam he was looking at. And he saw, on one side there's a huge group. On one side there's another group. He looked at them and laughed. He said, I'll misguide all of these. Then he looked at here. And then he admitted defeat. He said, but I cannot misguide them. In other words, in the view of Shaitan, mankind is divided into two types. Those who he can misguide. Those who he cannot misguide. Shaitan is looking at all of mankind, all of insaniyat, and he's saying that, this group I cannot misguide. But this group I can misguide. Even with one group he's laughing at them, the other group he's scared of them. So Shaitan also recognizes there's a difference between these two groups. Shaitan also recognizes that there's a difference between these two groups, and such a big difference that on one hand he's saying, I'll misguide all these people. Then he looks over here, but no, not these. I can't misguide them. In other words, on one group he's saying it's so easy for him. In the other one, he's saying it's so hard, he cannot misguide them. He's admitting defeat. In other words, Shaitan also understood that there are two groups of people. This group is not like them, that group is not like this. If Shaitan understood that, then what is wrong with Muslims that they cannot understand that we are not Ahlul Bayt and Ahlul Bayt cannot be us? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He's looking at all the Muslims and he's saying, I'll misguide all of them. He looks at Ahlul Bayt and he says, I cannot do that. Understand the difference. Difference between them and us. And that's the reason. When we see that, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was born, and all the jinn were banned from going into Medina. They're banned. Because the jinn were the ones who used to take back the news to Shaitan. So Shaitan's media was banned from Makkah. And Shaitan, he came up to complain, why is my media banned? Why is there a ban on my media? Why can't my media go there? Because it was the jinn who used to give the news to Shaitan. So Jibreel came out and went and said, listen, the last messenger, Khatam al-Anbiya, is born. Okay. He said, is there any way for me to misguide him? Jibreel said, no. And then, you know, he looked around his head and he was like worried. Shaitan was worried. He says, all right. Is there any way for me to misguide his ummah, his nation, the Muslims? And Jibreel said, yes. And Shaitan had a big smile on his face. He laughed and he went away. In other words, Shaitan understood that Ahlul Bayt are different and we Muslims are different. To us, he can misguide us, but to them, he accepted defeat. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
So the important thing is that Shaitan, his existence is the test of Iman. Iman is known through him. Those who are mu'min, they want to come face to face with Shaitan because that will prove their Iman. Those who are not mu'min, they are afraid to come face to face with Shaitan because that will expose their lack of Iman. So here I will end this here. Now we'll start the other subject. Enough about the existence of Shaitan and the benefits of his existence. Now right away I'm going to start the next subject, which is the sifat of Shaitan, the attributes of Shaitan. In the time I have right now, I'll just mention a part of the first attribute we learn from the Quran about Shaitan. Allah has attributes, Asma'ul Husna, and Shaitan has his Asma'ul, his Su'ah, evil names. He also has attributes, he also has certain qualities in him that we need to know. And the reason we learn the qualities of Shaitan is to see if we have those qualities or not. Because we should have the qualities that Shaitan has. So, my friends, the first quality Allah mentions in the Quran. He gives the example of Shaitan. He says, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنْسَانِ اُكْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيٌّ مِنْكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ Shaitan. Allah is giving the example of Shaitan. He's saying, and the example of Shaitan, like Shaitan is. What is that? He's giving this example. He's saying, when he tells mankind, this Shaitan comes and tells mankind, أُكْفُرْ Do kufr. Reject Allah. Disbelieve. أُكْفُرْ And فَلَغْمَا أَفَرَ When mankind does kufr, he listens to Shaitan and he does kufr, he says, إِنِّي بَرِيٌّ مِنْكَ I have nothing to do with you. I have nothing to do with you. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ I am afraid of Allah. Shaitan, he comes and says, do kufr. And when you do kufr, he says, listen, I didn't ask you to do that, you did it yourself. Allah is mentioning the first quality of Shaitan. The first quality of Shaitan is that he comes and makes a promise. He makes a promise and then he breaks his promise. Shaitan's first quality is that he breaks promises that he makes. In other words, he is dishonest. He is disloyal. Disloyalty, dishonesty is Shaitan's quality, is Shaitan's attribute, is Shaitan's path. On the other hand, Allah's path is that when He makes a promise, He will keep it. He will keep His promise. When He promises us Jannah, when He promises us this, then Allah is saying that look at me and look at Him. He makes a promise to you. Shaitan makes a promise, and when he makes a promise, he breaks it. And me, if I make a promise to you, dunya can turn into akhirat, but I will not keep my promise. I will fulfill it. Dunya can turn into akhirat, but I will not change. I will keep my promise. See the difference between me and him. The first quality of shaitan, my friends. And I just want to explain this a little bit so you understand it. This is subtle. So just pay attention. Send me salawats. So what is Allah saying? Allah is saying that shaitan comes to you and says, Ukfur. Now those who know Arabic know that Ukfur is Amr, is a command. Ukfur is a command, means do kufr. Thing is that, does he have a right, or what right does he have on us that he can order us around? Does he have a right on us? Is there any haq that he has on us that we owe him? And he can come to us and say, you know, stand up, we stand up, or we listen to him? You see, for example, if your father said, stand up, so obviously, he has a right on you. He has a right, you are his son, he is the one who raised you, so he has a right on you. So if he commands you to do something, then he has a right to command you. And you have the obligation to listen to him. Right? If your mother says, do this, she has a right on you. If your teacher says, do this, he has a right on you as a teacher. He taught you, you learned from him, he has haq on you. But what haq does shaitan have on you? I mean, is he your relative? No. Is he your in-law? Maybe. Salawat. You know, I mean, there is no relationship between you and him. Right? There is no relationship between you and him. In other words, when he's coming and commanding you to do something, because Allah is saying that he commands you, he says, Ukfur. Ukfur means that it's a command. So what right does he have to command us? Who's he? It's like one stranger asking another stranger to do something. You see, if I come to you as a complete stranger, now if I want something for you, I can request it. Would you please give me that? But I can't tell you, give me that. Who the hell are you? Who are you? What right do you have to tell me, you know? I don't have to listen to you. You see, that's what you tell. That's what you say. You have no rights. Two strangers. Shaitan is a complete stranger. And he's commanding us to do something. You see, just understand this. This is the law of Sharia that I'm explaining. When you take work from a stranger, for example, you know, your car broke down. You go to a mechanic, you know, on the street. You see a mechanic shop, you go there. He says, hey, listen, you know, my car broke down. He says, all right, let me take a look at it. He takes a look at it and says, oh, you know what, that's what's wrong with it. Right, I'm going to fix it for you. All right, go ahead. So he goes ahead, he works for about half 1 hour, 1 hour, he works on it, and he gets it fixed. So this is what? A stranger, right? We two are strangers. Now, I asked him to work on the car, he worked on the car. Now, the car is fixed. He's a stranger. So I said, wow, okay, is it fixed? He said, yep, it's fixed. He said, alright, great, man, thanks a lot, you know. And take the keys, start the engine. Put in the dryer, I'm driving. Hey, where are you going?
going home. What do you think I'm going? I'm going home. He says, but what about our money? He says, what money? He says, the money you owe me for the work. I said, you never asked for money. You never said there's any money involved. I thought you were being a kind-hearted person and helping me out. There's no agreement about money. You know, I just came here and said, this is a problem, and you fixed the problem. I said, Alhamdulillah, what a great person you are. May Allah give you a chance. You know, he said, the ajr will come there, but I have to feed my family. I have to feed my family, and you can't do that. You see, here, if this situation happens, where you take work from a stranger, and there's no agreement on money, if there's no agreement on money, you know, he has to pay you for it. You owe him money, because you took work from him. If you say that, no, because there was no agreement, I don't have to pay you. Allah says, this is shaytuni, this is evil. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. Alright? If I can't do it, then how much do I pay him? Right? How much do I pay him? Okay. Here, Islam, it came with an istilah, a term called ujratul mithl. Ujratul mithl is that when you take work from a stranger and there's no agreement on the money, on how much money is going to be spent, on how much money is going to be in between, then Islam says that you owe him ujratul mithl, meaning that you have to see in that market that you're living in, what is the price and the cost for the work that he has done. Whatever the average cost of the work is for what he has done in your area, that is what you owe him. So in other words, you need to call 3-4 other mechanics in the area and say, this was the problem, how much do you charge? And they give you prices, you take the average of that, that's what you owe. This is the Shariat. It's called Ujratul Mithl. You have to give that amount. Give that amount which you owe. Why? Because you took work from him. If you took work from him, then you owe him. There's no way that you can get out of this. You can't say, okay, we did not make an agreement, he never said there's going to be a price. No, if you took work from anyone, then you have to pay him. If the price wasn't agreed on, then at least pay him ujratul mithl. But you cannot get out of it. Islam does not allow you to get out of it. This is the law of Shariat. This is the law of Shariat, and this is one law that the Muslims never understood. Muslims never understood this law. The law is in the Shariat, and now when we read the Shariat, we have to give ujratul mithl. If the price wasn't decided, if you are thinking you're getting things for free, there's nothing for free. In Islam, there's nothing for free. Everything has a price. Everything has a price. If someone, for example, is working for you, do not think he's doing it for free. You owe him. Unless he forgives you. Unless he says, I forgive you. That's different. But if he doesn't forgive you, you owe him. You owe him for that. Muslims thought. You see, when Rasulullah came, and he started to give them and work for people and serve the people, so he gave them salah. So they took salah. He gave them song. They took song. He gave them hajj. They took hajj. And they thought all of this was for free. They thought all of this was for free. And now when the time came and he gave the bill, when Rasulullah gave the bill, they're saying, wait a minute. We didn't agree on any price. He says, okay. You didn't agree on any price. That's right. We never said there's going to be a price. But you know, Sharia says that if I work for you, you have to pay me. So now who's going to decide that? Now ujratul mithl has to be found. Ujratul mithl has to be done. Now, what will be the price for that? We cannot we can't call other numbers and ask other prophets, you know, hey, listen, how much do you charge for this job? We can call other mechanics, but you can't call other prophets and say, hey, listen. And the job of the prophet that no other prophet has done before.
No other prophet has done before. This is the job of the prophet. No one has done it. So who's going to set the price for it now? Who's going to set the price for it? So now the bill has to be paid and the price has to be set. So the only one who can fix the price now is Allah. That's why he said that the price for the work that Rasulullah has done is the love of Ahlul Bayt. Rasulullah served the Muslims. This is the reward. This is the payment. This is the bill. Now you say, no, we never agreed on this, you know, then again, this is that shaitani, that satanic way that we want to adopt. So my brothers, understand this. Shaitan has no right on you. If he wants you to do something, then he has to pay you for it. He has to pay you for it. Right? Meaning, for example, if he's saying go foot, he has to pay you to do go foot. And obviously he is broke, he doesn't have money. Shaitan is broke. You know? So how's he gonna pay you? You see, Shaitan, see, this is another trick of Shaitan. He never gives cash, he always gives you IOUs. You know? That's his way. He makes promises to you. The only way he pays you is making promises. Listen, if you do this, I will give you this. If you do this, I promise you this. If you do this, I will give you this money. If you do this, I will make you win the lottery. So what are we doing? We are listening to his promises. Because he has to make promises to you. He owes you. He can't just tell you to do kufr and you do it. He must make promises so that you do what he's asking you to do. So Shaitan's way is that he has to make a promise to you and still he breaks the promises. Now understand the difference between Shaitan and Allah. Shaitan needs to make a promise. He makes promises and he breaks it. Allah doesn't need to make promises. My friend, Allah doesn't need to say, he could tell us pray. No jannah, nothing, just pray. We have to listen to him. Why? Why? Because the very tongue that we call his name out is given by him. The very hand that we raise for prayers is given by him. The very existence that we have is given by him. We owe him for everything. Allah did not mean to make any promise. But this is Allah's grace and Allah's mercy that he's telling you that, listen, Shaitan needs to promise you. He makes promises and breaks it. I don't need to make any promise to you, but when I make a promise, I will keep my promise and I will never break my promise. Now see the difference between Allah's path and Shaitan's path. Allah does not need to make any promise to you. If he commands you to do something, you better do it. He doesn't need to say, if you do this, you'll go to heaven. No, no heaven. I gave you everything you have. You better do it. But you see, Allah's mercy is that I'll make promise to you of Jannah. And I'll give it to you. And Shaitan, he needs to make promises to make us work. But when he makes promises, he breaks them. So my friends, two paths are clear. Shaitan's path is dishonesty and disloyalty. When he makes a promise, he breaks it. And Allah's path is that when Allah makes a promise, he keeps it. So now Shaitan has his path. Allah has his path. Shaitan sent his books. Allah sent his books. Shaitan made his house. Allah made his house. Allah sent his messengers. Shaitan sent his messengers. Now what we need to decide, my friends, pay attention to what I'm saying. What we need to decide is whose messenger is Muhammad? Is Muhammad Allah's messenger or is he Shaitan's messenger? This is what we need to decide. If he's Allah's messenger, then if he makes a promise, he has to keep it. If he's Shaitan's messenger, then if he makes a promise, he'll break it. If he's breaking promises, then he cannot be Allah's messenger. And if he's Allah's messenger, then when he makes a promise, he has to keep his promise. So when we looked at the life of Rasulullah, look at the life of Rasulullah and see the promises he made, he better fulfill every promise that he made in his life. If he doesn't fulfill that, it means he cannot be Allah's messenger. He cannot be Allah's messenger. So now when we go back into his life and we see the promises that he made, the very most important and the first promise he made was in Da'watul Ashira. When he said, listen, I need help. Who's going to help me? Whoever will help me will be my successor, will be my Khalifa. And then Ali stood up and said, I will help you. And Rasulullah said, okay, you will be my successor, you will be my Khalifa. Now let us decide if Rasulullah is Allah's messenger or Shaitan's messenger. If he kept that promise, it means he's Allah's messenger. If he broke that promise, it means he's Shaitan's messenger. So Ali's Khilafat is not proven in Ghadir, Ali's Khilafat is proven in Da'watul Ashira. If Rasulullah does not make Ali the Khalifa, then he has broken his promise to Ali. He has broken his promise to Ali and he cannot be Allah's messenger. Because this is Shaitan's path that you make a promise and break it. At that time he needed help, so he said, hey listen, I need help, I promise you all these things. And when the time came and the help came, so now you ignore the promise. This is Shaitan's path. It's not Allah's path. If he's Allah's messenger, then he has to keep that promise. So if he made a promise to Ali that you are my successor, you are my Khalifa, then anyone who regards Ali as the Khalifa is saying that Muhammad is Rasulullah. Anyone who doesn't regard Ali as the Khalifa is saying that Muhammad is Shaitan's messenger. I don't know how clearly I can put this to you. What is Shaitan's path and what is Allah's path? The more clearly I cannot put this to you. If you believe that Rasulullah is really Rasulullah, then you have to accept Ali as his successor. Because he made a promise. Now he can't say, well, at that time I needed him, that's why I promised him. Now I don't need him. So this is Shaitan's way. Shaitan does that. He comes and says, listen, I need you. I promise you the city of Ray if you kill Imam Hussein. I will give you the city of Ray if you kill Imam Hussein. That's his way. And then when the job is done, he says, man, I don't know you. Anybody you can cut. I have nothing to do with you. This is Shaitan's way, my friends. And this is the first quality of Shaitan we learn. I will explain more about this tomorrow. The first quality of Shaitan is that he makes a promise and he breaks those promises. And if you are a mu'min who wants to walk on Allah's path, when you keep a promise, then you have, when you make a promise, you have to keep your promise. This is Allah's path. This is the path of Allah's messengers. This is the path of those who believe in Allah. And that is the first quality we learn of Shaitan. And what we should not be. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on Allah's path. Give us the Muslims understand guidance. Based on the way of prayers of Imam, to make us a soul when he comes. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad
wa ali Muhammad. Any questions? Shala. Who will dedicate that? Send me last salawats.